Thank you, Brother Dan. Good morning, brothers and sisters. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I hope my words this morning are not disappointing to you. I noticed that the last few sermons that we've heard here have kind of brought to prepare us for the coming rally that's before us. But though I do not want to diminish a bit from telling you the story of Jesus, because I want to read to you this morning, Jesus' first words, or not his first words, but his words to us in our generation. You know, I have a saying that perhaps most of you don't quite understand or maybe don't even appreciate, but it's rejoice, praise God, for the worst is rest to come. But the righteous need not worry. Now put that together. You know, there seems to be a lot of unrest or concern about what we should be doing. What is it that we should have been done that we didn't do? There are some that I've communicated with that feel like that we have to build the temple because we're holding Christ up. Unless we build a temple, Christ cannot come. You know, we tried that once. 1929, we tried it because of a false revelation. It failed. Not because we didn't try, but because it wasn't time. So I want to read to you now some of Christ's words as he was preparing to leave this earth and go back to his Father. He was in the temple with his apostles, and as he was coming out, they were showing him the beauty of the temple, the stones and the other things that were so beautiful and meaningful. And they asked him, and they said, Jim went out of the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the building of the temple, and Jesus said to them, see ye not these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be one stone left upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world. You know, we're told we're living in the last days. And what we should be doing in the last days? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And by the way, this is the 24th chapter of Matthew. And you can follow me if you want to in the 13th chapter of Mark and the 21st chapter of Luke. And they tell the same story, but the words are just a little bit different. And so I may mix them all together if I can, because I don't think I want to leave out any of them. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Not the end of the sorrows, it's the beginning of the sorrows. And then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated among all nations for my name's sake. And remember, he is talking to the Jews here, his disciples, his apostles there at the temple. But he's talking about the Jews. They'll be hated for his name's sake. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. But he that shall endure at the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see abomination of desolation spoken about Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Might pause there just a minute to describe what this abomination of desolation is. The stand in the holy place. In about AD 637, Palestine was conquered by the Muslims, and they built a mosque of Omar on the right, on the site of the Jewish temple, around the ancient stone known as the Dome of the Rock. That's what he's talking about, the Muslim standing in the holy place. That was the abomination that the desolation that Daniel spoke of. Then let them which are in the Judea flee into the mountains. Let them which are on the housetop come not down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe to them which are a child, and them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world, to this time, nor never else should be. Actually, Judea was conquered in 70 AD. And it's my opinion at least, that that's what he's talking about. When they were conquered, they should have not stayed in Jerusalem, but they did. They went back to Jerusalem and stayed there, and then they would suffer because of it. But said in the next verse, the 21st passage, said, then shall great tribulation be such as the beginning of the world, no nor ever shall be, except those days shall be shortened, no flesh shall be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And now he's talking about our day. The tribulation such as never been known before, and unless the days would be shortened, there would be no flesh saved. If a man say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. And there shall be false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For whosoever, wheresoever the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered together. Remember a story some time ago, I think it was Brother Brickhouse and Brother Don Brian McAdoo was in Africa, or I believe it was. And that was one of the questions he asked, what does that mean? Where the eagles are gathered together. See, wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And Brother Brickhouse answered him, the body of Christ. Satan is going, the eagles which are our scavengers, or Satan himself, will be gathered together wherever the body of the church is to destroy it. Immediately after those tribulation days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of earth mourn, and then shall the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven and power and great glory, and shall send his angels with great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together the elect from the four corners of the four winds, even from one end to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree, which its branches is yet tender and putteth forth leaves. Know ye not the summer is nigh? Likewise, when ye shall see these things coming, these things know that that is near even unto the door. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until all things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But the day and the hour knoweth no man. The day and the hour knoweth no man, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days of that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the floods came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. We're given a lot of things to do, but the building of the temple is not one of them. And I want to cover some of those things and some of the things that we will see yet in our day, besides the many tribulations and trials, that the things that we should be doing, the things that we are doing, the things we need to keep doing. I don't want to diminish at least any degree from the fact that we need to look unto God and to search the scriptures and to improve our lives. That is the first thing that we need to do for ourselves, to prepare ourselves. Because it says, in one place it says that, you know, they'll say, well, he's coming, and they put it off, correcting our own lives. And when he comes, he'll find us not doing the things that we're asked to do. Anyway, if we go to the 9th chapter of 3rd Nephi, I don't know whether this would be, this should be the first thing that I bring to you or not, but this is the way I've kind of written it down, and so I pray that you'll understand what I'm talking about. Starting with the 64th verse. The Father having raised up me and up unto the you first, and sent me to bless you in the turning away every one of you from his iniquities, and this because ye are the children of the covenant. And after that ye were blessed and fulfilled with the Father, then fulfilled the Father the covenant which he made with Abraham, saying, in thy seed shall all kindreds of the earth be blessed, unto pouring out the Holy Ghost through me upon the Gentiles, which blessing upon the Gentiles shall make them mighty above all, unto scattering my people, O house of Israel, that they shall be scourged to the people of this land. Nevertheless, when they shall have received the fullness of my gospel, when it shall be hard, if they shall harden their hearts against me, I'll return their iniquities upon their own heads, saith the Father. I think we are all well aware that our forefathers came here by the inspiration and direction of God himself. And it's one place it was said that they, at least those in the Plymouth area, felt that they were coming to build a new Jerusalem. We know the history of the world, of the United States, and that they would be prospered and blessed until they became a free people, until we have the freedoms and the government that, like we have today. And I remember the covenant which I made with my people, and I have covenanted with them that I would gather them together in mine own due time, that I would give unto them again the land of their fathers for their inheritance, which is the land of Jerusalem, which was a promised land unto them forever, saith the Father. And it shall come to pass at that time, that the time cometh when the fullness of my gospel shall be preached unto them, that they shall believe in me that I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and shall pray unto the Father in my name. Then shall their watchmen lift up their voices, and their voices together shall they sing, and they shall see eye to eye. And then will the Father gather together them again, and give unto them to Jerusalem, the land of their inheritance. That is one of our big responsibilities. And it goes on even more than that, just getting taking the gospel back to the house of Israel, that they be gathered back to Jerusalem, in the land of Canaan. And then shall the watchmen lift up their voices, and voice together shall they sing, and they'll see eye to eye. Then will the Father gather them together again, and give unto them Jerusalem in the land of their inheritance, And then shall they break forth into joy, singing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Father hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Father may bare his holy arm in the eyes of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of the Father. And the Father and I are one. And it shall be brought to pass that which is written, Awake, awake, and put on thy beautiful garments, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall be no more come to thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake yourselves from the dust. Arise, set down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughters of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, Ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that my people shall know my name. Yea, in that day they shall know that I am he that does speak. And then shall they say, How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings unto them that publish peace. They bring good tidings unto them of good, and to publish salvation, and saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. And then shall a cry go forth, depart ye, go ye out from thence. Touch not that which is unclean. Go ye out in the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out in haste, nor go by flight. For the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel shall be your rearward. Behold, my servant shall do prudently. He shall be exalted and exalted and be very high. And many shall be astonished at thee. His visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. So shall he sprinkle many nations, and kings shall shut their mouths at him. And that which they have not been told them shall they see, and that which they have not heard shall they consider. There's at least two different opinions of what this servant is. He's talking about smarred more than any man. I'm not going to tell you what mine is, but it doesn't make much difference. It's going to happen. And that is our responsibility, that this gospel should be carried to all the world for a witness. That is our responsibility. That's what we need to be doing. And in fact, that's what we are doing. I think most of you know that we have two apostles right now. Probably, I don't know whether they landed in Africa yesterday or whether it's today or what they left on Friday, so I understood. To carry the gospel to that land. Verily, verily, I say unto you, all these things shall be surely come, yea, even as the Father hath commanded me. Then shall this covenant which the Father hath covenanted with his people be fulfilled. Then shall Jerusalem be inhabited again with my people, and then shall the land of their, and it shall be the land of their inheritance. Verily I say unto you that I give unto you a sign that you may know when these things shall be about to take place. And I shall gather in from the from their long dispersions my people, O house of Israel, and shall establish again them my Zion. And behold, this is a thing which I have given to you for a sign. For verily I say unto you that when these things which I declare unto you and which I shall declare unto you hereafter of myself and by the power of the Holy Ghost, which is shall be given unto you of the Father, shall be made known unto the Gentiles. Let me read that again. Behold, this is the thing which I will give unto you for a sign. For verily I say unto you that when these things which I declare unto you and which I shall declare unto you hereafter of myself and by the power of the Holy Ghost, which shall be given unto you of the Father, shall be made known unto the Gentiles. And that they may know concerning the people who are the remnant of the house of Jacob, and concerning this my people who shall be scattered by them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when these things shall be made known unto them of the Father, and shall come forth from the Father, and from them unto you, he's talking to the house of Israel, the people on this land, come forth of the Father, from them unto you, for it is wisdom in the Father that they should be established in this land, and to set up as a free people by the power of the Father, that these things might come forth from them unto a remnant of your seed, that the covenant of the Father may be fulfilled, which he hath covenanted with his people, O house of Israel. Therefore, when these words which and the works which shall be wrought among you hereafter shall come forth from the Gentiles unto your seed, which shall be dwindling in unbelief because of iniquity, for thus it behooveth the Father that should come forth from the Gentiles, that he may show forth his power unto the Gentiles, for this cause, that Gentiles, if they will not harden their hearts, that they may repent and come unto me and be baptized in my name, and know the true points of my doctrine, that they may be numbered among my people, O house of Israel. And when these things come to pass, and thy seed shall begin to know these things, it shall be a sign unto them, that they may know that the work of the Father has already commenced unto the fulfilling of the covenants which he had made unto the people who are of the house of Israel. And when in that day shall come, it shall come to pass that kings shall shut their mouths, and that which they have not been told shall they see, and that which they have not heard shall they consider. For in that day, for my Father's sake, shall the Father work a work which shall be a great and marvelous work among them, and there shall be among them who will not believe it, although a man shall declare it to them. That is our responsibility, to carry this gospel not only back to the house of Israel, the ones upon this land. And while we talk about it, you know, one of the first efforts was ever made to carry the gospel to the house of Israel, the Indians upon this land, was made in 1831. When Oliver Cowdery and about three elders came here to take the gospel to the Indians with a mission over in what's now Shawnee, Kansas. And they wouldn't even listen to him because they didn't trust us Gentiles. But he finally convinced them that he was trying to give them the Book of Mormon, which was their story, not ours. And so the chief of the Delaware Indians accepted it, and he thanked him for it. But the government refused to let him return again because they didn't want to make the Indians think they had any rights, though they were given a right by God. And so they returned here and preached to the Gentiles on this side of the river. The next thing I want to talk to you maybe a little bit about some of the problems that we're facing right now, about this condition down in Brazil, the claim they have. You know, I think you probably recognized, I hope you did, that when this, the things which were given to the Gentiles here was actually the Book of Mormon, and they were to take it back to the house of Israel, and especially people on this land. But we know that that Book of Mormon had some, at least the records that was translated from, had some seal parts. And that's what Berger, I think his name is, claims that he's got now and wants us to help him translate it and give it back to us. In 2 Nephi, the second chapter. No, wait a minute. 3 Nephi, 11th chapter. And starting with the 125th verse. Oops, I made a mistake someplace. It was the third chapter of 3 Nephi only has 25 to 33. I've got copied something wrong. No, that's what it says. Well, I'm sorry. Well, nothing's coming through here, and I thought I had that pretty well marked. Well, I'll tell it to you anyhow. He's talking about the sealed part of the record of the record is going to come forth. That there be. I think maybe that's the second Nephi, 11th chapter. Come think about it. Starting with the. It is 2 Nephi in the 125th verse. It shall come to pass that I, the Lord, shall go bring forth unto the words of the book, which they shall be the words which are them that slumbered have slumbered. And behold, he took the book, and behold, the book shall be sealed, and in the book shall be written, shall be the revelations of God from the beginning of the world even to the end thereof. Wherefore, because of the things which are sealed up, the things which are sealed shall not be delivered in the day of wickedness and abomination to the people, or if the book shall be kept from them, but the book shall be delivered to a man that he shall deliver the words. And he's going to tell the story about how Joseph Smith received the book, and he was taken to the doctor there in New York to verify the record, the translation of them. And he goes and said that he wanted. Told the Dr. Anthem told him to bring him the book, and he had read it, and he said, "We can't bring it because it's sealed." And he said, "Well, I can't read it then." But what I want to get to, because that those things will not be brought forth into the world in a day of wickedness and abomination. And that's certainly not today. Now, I think I'll go to the 38th chapter of Ezekiel for now, because this is something that's, sometimes we neglect to read the prophecies of the prophets, the time of the prophets, which was before Christ's coming, around 6,000 years before Christ, 600 years rather before Christ. But in the 38th chapter of Ezekiel, he tells a story about our day. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, "Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and I'll turn thee back and put hooks in thy jaws, and I'll bring thee forth all of thine army and horsemen, and all of them that clothe all sorts of armor with a great and company and bucklers and shields, and all men handling swords." And to help you understand what he's talking about, of course, he's naming these countries that it was in days of Ezekiel. But Gog is Russia. Persia is Turkey, south of the Black Sea. Tubal is south of the Black Sea and Turkey. Persia is Iran and Iraq. Ethiopia is bigger than it is in our maps today. It's south of Egypt and west to the desert and Sudan. Libya is north of Africa. Gomer is north of the Black Sea. And Tomagaw is in the north quarters of between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea. Now, be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are accompanied unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter days thou shalt come into the land which had brought back from the sword and gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. And thou shalt ascend and come like a storm, and thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, and thou and all thy bands and the many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at that same time things shall come into thy mind that thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up into the land of unwalled villages. Now go to them that are at rest, and they dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. To take a spoil, to take a prey, to turn thy hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods and dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all the young lions thereof shall say unto thee, Art thou come to take a spoil? Art thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold and take away cattle and goods and a great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, Thus saith the Lord God, In that day when my people Israel dwell safely, thou shalt not know it. And thou shalt come forth out of thy place, out of the north parts, and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, and great company, and a mighty army. And it shall come upon against my people, O Israel, as a cloud to cover the land. And it shall be in the latter days. And I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know that when I shall be gathered in thee, O Gog, before their eyes. And thus saith the Lord God, art thou he whom I have spoken of old time by my servants, the prophets of Israel, which prophesied in those days many years that I would bring thee against them. It shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face, and in my jealousy, and in my fire, and my wrath have I spoken it. Surely in that day there shall surely be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, and the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the field, and the creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against them throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilence, with blood, I will rain upon him, and upon his bands, and upon many people that are with him, an overflowing of rain, and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, that they shall know that I am the Lord. Therefore, going to the 39th chapter, therefore, son of man, prophesy against Gog, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief princes of Meshach and Tubal. I'll turn thee back, and I'll leave but a sixth part of thee, and I will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and I will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I'll smite thy bow out of the left hand, and I will cause thy arrows to fall out of thy right hand, and thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, and all thy bands and the people that are with thee. And I will give thee unto ravenous birds every sort, and to the beasts of the field and to be devoured. It shall fall upon the open fields, and it shall be spoken saith the Lord, and I will send fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So will I make my holy mountain known in the midst of all people of Israel, and I will not let them death pollute my holy mountain any more. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. You know, we hear a lot anymore, but a little bit here and a little bit there, about what they're calling the Third World War. And back there, when it mentioned about having that evil thought to go into a land that dwells without gates or walls to take a spoil, there's many of us that believe that that is this United States that they're talking about. It is a Third World War, and it's in the near future. Tomorrow? Probably not. But I don't know how soon. These are some of the things that we will see coming. But still, our responsibility is to carry this gospel back to the house of Israel. That's our first responsibility. Well, maybe I shouldn't say first. God gave that gospel to the Gentiles, and it's our responsibility to succor them and to teach them and to encourage them and to strengthen them in all their needs. Yes, this great land of the United States of America needs to be to come unto God. The contentions and the strifes that we see among us are because we do not put God in our lives. And it's not in our government. We're trying to solve our problems with our own wisdom. But God is the answer to all things. And it's quite evident that there is a lot of wickedness and evilness in our land. My time is running out, so I don't want to waste too much of your time. But I do want to let you know that these evils are coming. These wars are not just over there. George Washington saw our day when he was leaving his office, or before, actually during the Civil War, Revolutionary War, rather, that he saw three wars on this land: the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, and the Third World War, fought right here. And he pointed out in different words the same people that wrote here in the 38th chapter of Ezekiel that came upon this land. And it was nearly destroyed. We was ready to surrender. Believe it or not, we was ready to surrender in the vision that George Washington saw. But what were they driven out by? Legions of angels saved our land. And he said that this land, this nation, would survive as long as the stars were in heaven. So those are some of the things that are yet ahead of us. And what is our responsibility? True, we need to improve our lives. We need to accept Jesus Christ. We need to put him in our life first and foremost, and put off all the other things that are troubling us. We might look up and praise God, for these things are coming. But he has promised that he would not allow the wicked to destroy the righteous. And to that I want to go in 1 Nephi in the 7th chapter and the 34th verse. For the time soon cometh that the fullness of the wrath of God be poured out upon all the children of men. For he will not suffer that the wicked shall destroy the righteous. Wherefore he will preserve the righteous by his power, even if it so be that the fullness of his wrath must come upon the righteous to preserve and righteous and be preserved, even though unto the destruction of their enemies by fire. Wherefore the righteous need not fear, for thus saith the prophet, they shall be saved, even if it so be by fire. Behold, my brethren, I say unto you that these things must shortly come, yea, even blood, fire, and vapors of smoke. And it must needs be upon the face of this earth, and it cometh unto men according to the flesh, and if it so be that they are hardened their hearts against the Holy One of Israel, for behold, the righteous shall not perish. And I don't think we need to, we can sit back and say that I am righteous and I am fulfilled all the gospel. We need to work diligently at it. Let God be the judge. For we can never say that we have did enough. You know, the book of Jeremiah is just full of the prophecies and the words that came to him because of the needs of the people, or the wickedness of the people, rather. And so, but in the 60... Thirty-third chapter of Jeremiah. Starting with the 7th verse. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return and will build them as at first. And you know, the wording here is so different than what I would say something. When he says the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel shall return, I would think it's going to be taken back into captivity, but it isn't what it's meaning. The evidence of what it's saying is that they're going to be taken away, the captivity of Judah and Israel. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. It should be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I will do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all of the prosperity that I have procured into it. Thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, which they say shall be desolate and without man and without beast, even into the cities of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without men and without inhabitations and without meat. The voice of joy and the voice of gladness and the voice of bridegroom shall be the voice of the bride and the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, praise the Lord is good. For his mercy endureth forever, and of them that shall bring forth the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord, for I will cause it to return to the captivity of the land as at the first. And again, that doesn't say what it means, what I would say it at least. He's not going to return to captivity. He's going to take the captivity away of the land as it was at first. How far do I want to read? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, again in this place which is desolate without man and without beast, and in all the cities thereof shall be inhabitations of shepherds causing their flocks to lie down. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the vale, in the cities of the south, in the land of Benjamin. And Benjamin is the south part of that land. And the place of Jerusalem and the cities of Judah shall be, the flocks pass again under the hand of him that dwelleth, that telleth them, see, saith the Lord. Behold, the days cometh, saith God, that I will perform a good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days, at that time, I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow out of David, and he shall exalt the judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall be dwelt safely. And this is the land name wherein she shall be called, the Lord of our righteousness. We have a lot to do. And I thank the Lord that he has given us the opportunity to do it. You know, we was taking the gospel back to the house of Israel. The first time it really took off was in about 1950-52 or somewhere in that line. My brother Wheaton went to Yucatan, not to preach the gospel, but to find a city, walled city, that didn't exist because he had heard of it. But at that point, the gospel, we had the opportunity to take the gospel back to the house of Israel upon this land. And it has grown. It has grown more than it has here in the United States, or at least about equal. And the gospel was taken to the, I think, to the house of Israel in the Philippines. And today they have more, about twice as many people, members there in the Philippines to be out here in the United States. Are they the house of Israel? We don't know yet. We don't know yet. But I think we will soon. We will soon know. But they accepted it. Just like it was in Africa. They were looking for it. And they, who told them? Of course, they found it on the internet. But they were looking for the truth when we got the gospel into Africa and the Philippines both. And it didn't take long when they, even when they, in 52, when they went to Yucatan for the gospel to spread there. It didn't go as fast then at that time as it did in Africa and the Philippines, but it has grown now to about equal, at least, to the United States. And so we have a great job ahead of us. True, our first responsibility is to put on the righteousness of ourselves. And then is to carry the gospel back to the nations of the world for a witness against them and against Satan and against evil. That's our responsibility. That's what is to be done. True, if we would go back to the ninth chapter of 3 Nephi, it tells us that the time will come when the house of Israel will go through this land like a lion among sheep and cut off our cities and destroy our chariots and do away with all lying, deceiving, priestcrafts, and whoredoms. Then, if we repent, we'll be numbered with the house of Israel. And what we're going to do? What are they going to do? We will assist them in building the new Jerusalem. These are the things that have to be done before that. We've got to put away all of our evils and all of our wickedness. And because we do not do it, we'll be brought to our knees. We'll be brought to our knees. But remember, our biggest defense, our only defense, yes, we have a good army, but our only defense is our service to our God. That's our first and only promise. Because if we do not, we have no promise. I thank you for your time, and there was much more I could have read to you, but time did not permit. I do pray that God will bless us in our responsibilities and in our efforts, that it will be to his name's honor and glory. We would not think of ourselves more righteous than we really are. God bless you all.
Thank you, Brother Lester.
You know, prophecies of the